Let's start in 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is writing, and my people think that Peter is writing to them, but it's clear that he's not. From verse 12, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, he couldn't be writing to Gentiles and say that. To whomever Peter is speaking, you see in 1 Peter in chapter 2, but ye, verse 9, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I sat in my Baptist church as a baby Christian and had that verse preached to me, and that we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and I could amen that on a spiritualized level. And the joke was made that ye are a peculiar people, and yeah, Terry'd be peculiar. So, ha ha. And I was told that the Baptist church was particular and unique in that it was not really a denomination. Every church was independent, and that we were a priesthood of believers, and that every one of us was, in that sense, a mediator of God's light, marvelous light and truth. So the royal priesthood in verse 9, I was taught, was the priesthood of believers. And oh, how better than the Baptists were than the Catholics with their priest class, and the Presbyterians with their elder class. And so, again, it was about denominational pride, and it was malfeasance. It was misuse of the verse. The chosen generation, the royal priesthood, were put in place and declared by God to be that on the first page of the Old Testament, which is, of course, Exodus chapter 19. The first page of the Old Testament is not Genesis chapter 1. There's no testament back there. But in Exodus chapter 19, in verse 6, I'm sorry, in verse... Oh, I'm in Leviticus. That's why I can't find it.
That'll slow you right down.
I moved the first page of the New Testament, or Old Testament, back a ways there. In Exodus chapter 19, the covenant is made, and the statement that Peter quotes in verse 5 is obvious. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Verse 6. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the Baptists. No, verse 6 actually says to the children of Israel. So in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, verse 5, if you will keep my covenant, there's where the covenant shows up. There is no old covenant until it shows up. So 69 books of your Bible are prior, 69 chapters of your Bible are prior to the giving of the old covenant. When the old covenant shows up, it's for the people Israel. It's verse 5, notice the last five words, six words, for all the earth is mine. It's an earthly covenant for an earthly people. It's about that nation, Israel. Now, when I thought that I was the kingdom of priests and that the earth was mine, that then made a liar out of the Apostle Paul, telling me that I had all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The covenanted people had particular promises given unto them, and those promises given unto them are not my promises. When God, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, makes this nation the kingdom of priests, I could easily see how that ties with what Peter said, which we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2. But notice as well, in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 10, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign, what are the last three words? On the earth. Then I had the idea in my Baptist bonehead days that I died and went to heaven, but came back with the white horses, and then ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, after which the devil's released for a short season, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And I had no clue where I was after that. Might be here, might be there, might be Detroit. I had no idea. It was rather amorphous and not clear. But I had me up for a while and down for a while, and then somewhere, who knows where, for the rest of it. It's because of that, and the idea that I was the Savior, the peculiar people, the holy nation on this earth, that, of course, whatever my belief system took in, required that everybody else who disagreed with me be wrong.
Oh, yes.
And I still hold to that position. I'm right, you're wrong. But it oriented me toward running the world.
Yeah.
So along comes a preacher that I wasn't particularly wild about, but he created an organization called the Moral Majority.
Yes.
And the idea behind the Moral Majority was that the majority of Americans are moral and they need to run things. And it was an evangelical phalanx, a movement that came out of Lynchburg, Virginia, and Jerry Falwell, and the Moral Majority really had a lot of influence and a lot of power for a period of time. If you were endorsed by the Moral Majority, that guaranteed you a certain amount of credibility in a large number of circles. So the idea, the orientation of being this holy priest and bringing forth this holy nation was something that was engendered in my early years, and it took a while to sort out, and thanks to the revelation of the mystery in Paul's writings, I finally did sort out that all these earthly things may be interesting. A couple of very good ball games yesterday may be interesting, but what I'm here for is soul saved and saints edified. I'm now past the 70, just a little bit. I'm much more these days into saints edified. Earlier on, I was much more into the soul saved part of my life. And that's never mutually exclusive. You're always doing both simultaneously. It's an endeavor to do things which have eternal consequences rather than things which have earthly and temporal consequences. The idea of this nation of priests is something that only Israel can perform, because Paul instructed me that in my time there's not but one mediator between man and God, that the man, Christ Jesus. So the only mediator would not be the mediatrix Mary, would not be somebody in a confessional booth, would not be expiation by the means of self-immolation, flagellation, or torturous activities. It would not be any of that. If I get it right, I find out that these affairs of this world, well, Paul tells me not to get tangled up with the affairs of this world. I can observe them, I can comment and care, but tangled up, not any longer. So I was taught a wrong and an earthly orientation. I still live on this planet. Some folks might think I'm a visitor from another planet, and I'm not going to argue. I'm an ambassador from the third heaven, and this is not my home. So I refuse to plant roots here.
Amen.
I've kidded over the years that when the Lord calls the body of Christ into the air, there will be people all over America saying, "Not now, Lord. The Super Bowl's in 2 weeks. Not now, Lord. I just got a new car."
Yeah.
We have an attachment, and we care about the things of this life and this world. That needs reorientation. Only God's Word rightly divided can reorient you.
Amen.
When you reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin, when you're crucified with Christ, and when you take on that orientation, then letting go of the toys on this planet becomes a lot easier. It's important to note in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, Paul warns against being exalted above measure. The exaltation above measure was taken from Paul's thinking by his thorn in the flesh. "Lest I should be exalted above measure," 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. God dealt with Paul about that. As a matter of fact, if you, and we won't do it now, but if you take the time to look at the preceding two chapters, you see Paul say some kind of prideful things in chapters 10 and 11. And he gets slapped down here in chapter 12. What is the orientation of the Christian who believes that he is the holy nation, he is the nation of priests, he is the mediator of God's blessings to the rest of the world, he is the covenant keeper that's bringing God's blessings to America? What might his orientation be? Might it include being exalted? I'm right. Siege mentality springs from that. And of course, Paul gets dealt with. Now, the one good thing that we can know from this weak flesh of ours, and the fact that God's grace is sufficient and there won't be the healing, is that we're not a nation of priests. Because priests can't be halt or lame or maimed. They have to be whole. Yep. So there's no place then for Paul, the apostle with bad eyes,
no,
in the kingdom program.
No.
What do you do with a sick apostle? You're going to have to fire him.
Yes.
Because isn't it part of the apostolic ministry?
Yes.
Mark chapter 16, that you heal everybody?
Yep.
So what do you do with a guy that doesn't get healed? Well, he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, or, well, he lost his salvation. What do you do with him? You better learn how to rightly divide him.
Amen.
And so Paul learns in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 about God's grace being sufficient. Paul then has an attitude adjustment and says that since his strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Done much of that lately? Gloried in any infirmities lately? It's a stretch. It's a struggle, isn't it? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. When we studied prayer, I made the point that that's what most people pray to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
That list right there. And here's my example, taking pleasure in those things. They're not pleasurable, but it's a teaching lesson about God's grace for him. I know that I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've learned physical blessings don't belong to me. It's important to get that. If you think that you are the chosen people, the peculiar people, the nation of priests, attendant to them is physical blessings. They have a physical earth to take care of. And priests can't be halt or lame.
No.
So it's important to recognize we're not Israel. We are not the nation. I say that knowing full well even the folks that don't go to church think that God has blessed America. I see it on pickup trucks all over town. I saw it much more 11 years ago at 9/11. The patriotism lasted and for a while, but now we got rusty bumper stickers on rusty pickup trucks. The idea behind all that is that we're a special people. Well, I think I'm special and I think you're special, but in the doctrinal context, we're not God's chosen people. We are, our life is, boy, you're going to love this. Our life is irrelevant apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in Him. Our life now is hid, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Ought to be. We live in a day and time when every 12-year-old in this country wants to go viral with the song they're singing.
Yeah.
We want maximized exposure. The Justin Bieberization of America has taken place, where some cutesy-wootsy little boy sings some vapid little song about baby, 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 and whoo-hoo, he's a gazillionaire.
Yes.
Driving that big old Cadillac that goes 182 miles an hour, and he got ticketed at that speed. He's a gazillionaire. Our society opposes what the body of Christ is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Our society is all about instant fame, instant gratification, being crucified. Well, that's for some priest somewhere. Yeah. Some monk in a monastery.
Yeah.
That false religion is a sorry exhibition. The real exhibition ought to be you or ought to be me.
Yes.
And we ought not to care for ourselves. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is followed by verse 21. Don't you love verse 21 that never gets quoted? Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
Living a life not crucified to Christ is a frustration for the grace of God. We're frustrating the concept. We are running contrary to who God would have us to be. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. I have to learn this.
Yeah.
I look in the mirror. I don't see any of this. I investigate and think about what passed through your head today, my thought patterns. I don't get this. I have to learn this. This is an overlaid function that I have to learn. Christ liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, Israel's under the law every day of its existence, Old Testament or New. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Should apply that to the Sword of the Lord article we just read. The infirmities and sicknesses that came to Israel were cured to such a degree that there were miraculous cures.
Yes.
The first healing in your Bible is a healing of a disease that was put on a man by God and taken away by God when Moses' leprous hand was renewed. That's not me. That's not where I am.
No.
When I began to, I went to a specialist and they put me in a booth, and I thought they were going to ask me questions and give me money, but that wasn't what they did. I'm in this isolation booth, and they're playing sounds, and I press a button when I can hear them, and I press a button when I can't hear them, this ear, that ear, and I emerged from the booth, and he said, "You had tinnitus.
He said, here's the range of things you can't hear, because you got a noise. It's this frequency right here. Of course, you pray and ask the Lord, is this necessary? Must this be? Can't this be cured? And I've learned God's grace is sufficient.
Yes.
That didn't stop me from joining the American Tinnitus Association and learning about tinnitus.
Right.
That didn't stop me from, oh my, everybody that knows you gives you a cure.
Yes.
I've had more things in my ear than I care to talk about. And, warm olive oil. I think that was the first one.
Yeah.
Do you realize how yucky that is? And it seeps forever. You can't scratch. Your hand just slides off the side of your head. So you try all these things. And, oh, the homeopathic and all the... And then the guy comes on TV for $99. We'll send you a free... They're not free. You're going to pay the
$99. Yeah.
All the things that you try and all the things... you still would like it. To this very moment, I'd be glad if it were not there. I found out healing, it's in the atonement, and I benefit from it when I die and get my new body.
Yes.
I found out I'd better learn how to glory in mine infirmities, put up with them and press on. So hopefully, I've learned something about that.
Yes.
I don't frustrate myself by thinking that there's some silver bullet, some magic prayer that I can say, some certain thing that I can do that would finally have that breakthrough. You hear the Pentecostals talking about their breakthrough?
Yeah.
Have that breakthrough and get my healing. We have a very well-known gentleman who lives in the Miami Valley. He's served in our country's government. He's served at the United Nations. He's been an envoy for poverty and hunger around the world. And I think he goes to a Baptist church, and I think he's a very nice and a very well-meaning man. When his son was afflicted with a life-threatening illness, this nice, community-minded man from our area took his son to the Toronto airport for the great outpouring of blessings at the Toronto Airport Church. Because the gentleman was famous and important and all of that, he got a special audience and a special anointing. Next, you have to go down to Brownsville, Florida, for the great Brownsville revival. So, true story, this man, he's sincerely trying to get his boy healed.
Yeah. Okay.
Put yourself in where he is in his thinking, that there must be something I can do. I got to do it. I got to find where God's blessings come out.
Yeah.
So he goes down to Brownsville, Florida, to where they are feeling the mighty rushing wind. That's where they began barking like dogs in the aisles. The boy, of course, less than 2 years later, dies. There is no healing. And all I can think of is, what's his dad's opinion of God now?
Yeah.
Went the extra mile, made the sacrifice, went to Toronto, went to Brownsville. And my son that I love so much, he's dead. Wouldn't it have been nice to learn about grace? Wouldn't it have been nice to have someone point out Romans chapter 8, verse 18? In a Baptist church, you say, what's he doing going to? Some folks call it the Clownsville revival down in Brownsville. Or to the Toronto airport. What's he doing? Baptist
think they're Israel. Pentecostals think they're Israel. Yeah. They both think they're the chosen nation, the royal priesthood. Why would there not be a commonality, particularly when the common denominator is, I want to get something from God?
Yes.
I've learned an important concept that is very off-putting. I've already gotten what I'm going to get.
Yes.
I'm already, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, complete. I'm already, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, seated in heavenly places. God's not chastising me. I know that from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So my thinking has changed dramatically. Rather than being needy, I'm complete.
Yes.
Those are two very different things. It really changes one's attitude. And I don't know how you kill selfishness apart from Calvary's cross. We're just born to it.
Yes.
Life's about us.
Yep.
When I was still had hair, going to the University of Toledo, there was a philosophy course that I was required to take, or maybe it was at Bowling Green. At any rate, I took this philosophy course. And you learn about this one and that one. And there was one who had what was called Gestalt philosophy. And the concept was very similar to Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. That you're seated there because I think you are. And if I didn't think you were, you'd go away. Jim just left. Which is very similar to Christian Science.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Totally self-centered.
Yes.
Well, I need to learn that the sickness and infirmities of the nation got cured and I'm not the nation.
No.
I need to learn that I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Yeah.
It's hard to wean yourself away from bad habits. Some of you don't have any bad habits, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's hard. I was so thrilled to be learning about the rapture.
Yeah.
Now I try to school myself away from saying the word because it's not in the Bible and I don't want to give Jehovah Witnesses ammunition.
Yeah.
Same way with Trinity.
Yeah.
Martin Luther wrote song after song about Trinitarian doctrine, and I was raised Lutheran, so I knew a little bit of Luther, not much. I try to wean myself away from that. I haven't signed anything, God bless you, in probably 15 or 20 years, trying to wean myself away from that. Rather, I generally say pressing on,
yeah,
or keep pressing on, or like you, I'm pressing on, that kind of thing, because that's what I need to do.
Amen.
And pressing on, that means it's constant pressure. You never give up. God bless you. Why? Do you have, when I sneeze and you say, God bless you, do you have some mystical power? God bless you, my child. What does that mean? Well, God would bless you according to a covenant if you had one.
Yes.
People in the 1400s thought that when you sneezed, your soul was starting to come out your mouth. And so they blessed you to put your soul back in your body.
Yep.
Huh? My reorientation is very important. It's ongoing. It's a struggle. Job said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his own. Life's about me.
Yeah.
Skin for skin. All that a man hath. The healthcare industry, the last 5 years of people's lives.
all that a man hath will he give for his own. We're born to it. God's given us. I see it in not just humans, but in his creation generally. This amazing desire to live and to press on. I need to learn. I just read when Patrick Henry died, the last words out of his mouth, written by his biographer, was, "There's great peace in knowing Christ."
Wow.
I need to learn a different orientation.
Yes.
Than trying to hang on and hang on and hang on. I need to have already been crucified with Christ and reckon that to be true.
Yes.
Then, as things get worser and worser, as time goes by, as they invariably, inevitably do, I know that's what I'm appointed to. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, let's continue to be true. I then need to minister grace and not lies and false hopes.
Yes.
Lies, spiritual lies told right out of the Bible.
Yes.
Misappropriating Israel's scriptures for people that are living today. It's so common, I think, that we have this wrong orientation. Our worldview, I put on my blog just the other day, most people don't think they have a worldview, they just think they're right. There's something to there might be another side to your coin, you know. There might be something that you haven't considered, you know. I spend an awful lot of time reconsidering things. I don't know about you, but I've been wrong so many times. I don't jump into very many things.
Yeah.
Since I'm not Israel, since the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, since I'm going to suffer the sufferings of this present world, this present evil world, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, since all of that is true, I'm not a big fan of the peacekeepers of the United Nations.
No.
I really don't think, some people would put a period right there. I really don't think that making the Secretary of Defense a man who is willing for Iran to have the bomb, just contain it, Chuck Hagel, a man who is conciliatory. We don't need all this Pentagon defense stuff. They're not so bad. Just contain them. I think that's leading with your chin and asking to be hit alongside the head.
Yes.
My never to be humble opinion. When John Fitzgerald Kennedy appointed a gentleman named Robert McNamara, McNamara was in favor of unilateral disarmament. I'm thinking, yeah, them first.
Yes.
Not us first. Peace on earth ain't going to happen.
No.
We tend to think of the time in which we live as being rather peaceful, although our country's engaged in two wars. We now, wars, actions, whatever you want to call them, we now have an army that hardly anybody associates with or knows much about. When we get out of Afghanistan, when we are done in Iraq and have been, I guess, but I don't know about that for sure, but I guess we'll think that we're at peace then. It's as if Nigeria doesn't exist, as if the Sudan doesn't exist. They kind of don't. We don't know enough about Nigeria beyond two or three basketball players to even be able to find it on a map.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ah, we're at peace. Self-delusion is not a good thing.
No.
As a matter of fact, grace and peace are ours in Christ, but not here. It's important. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That destroys two-thirds of the Christmas cards you got and all the music you heard at the mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. That's red letter, Jesus speaking.
Yep.
Well, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. Go back up to verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. Have a nice day. Understand, he's not speaking to this dispensation and the revelation of the mystery, but the people who say that they are following the teachings of Jesus about peace on earth are clueless about what the man said.
Yes.
The peace that I have is one that passeth understanding and is a product of the blood of the cross, not of the United Nations. I remember back in the 60s, the famous pictures in Life magazine still existed back then, of the flower child putting a daisy down the barrel of a guy's shotgun, and I remember the riots at Kent State University and the kids that were shot there and peacekeepers driving tanks. The initiatives toward peace. Peace at any price is a coward's position.
Yes.
It only works if there's nothing worth fighting for.
Yes.
A little over 900 years ago, right at that, a pope created a new group which he sanctified, the Knights Templar. And the Knights Templar had as their duty the military advancement of the papacy. The Knights Templar had armored horses that were trained to charge. The Knights Templar, if there was a phalanx of an army in front of them, were trained to poke holes in that. If it got them all killed, then the follow-up guys, they could go through the hole that was made by the people that suicide squads. The Knights Templar were instructed, you never have the liberty to retreat. You can only charge. The Knights Templar tortured, murdered. They totally embarrassed a Muslim leader, killed and all the people, burned down the cities.
Muslims today hate Christians, but they're thinking of the Knights Templar and Roman Catholics.
Yes.
Peace on earth? Really? You've got more than a billion Muslims who think that you're the ones that killed them back then in the 1000s and 1100s.
Yes.
And so death to all Christians and death to all Americans. There's so much wrong information that is pervasive as to why things happen.
Yes.
You tell the truth and they think you are a whack job.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
I don't want to ascribe too much power, too much influence to what Roman Catholicism, notably the Devil's Church, has accomplished in the best part of 1700 years. They were the ones who beheaded Muslims and threw their heads back at the Muslim people.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to excuse anything. But you've got a battleground in place based on 1,000-year-old, 600-year-old, 700-year-old hatreds.
Yes.
You don't have any part in.
That's it.
Well, the Pope doesn't have an army now. He's got yours.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
It was Roman Catholic Huguenots in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
That we went in, Roman Catholic Marianists in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
that we went in for.
Mm-hmm.
It was Roman Catholic missionaries in El Salvador, mm-hmm. that we went for.
Yeah.
It was Roman Catholics in Haiti that we sent the boats.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that are conspiratorial in their thinking have missed what's really going on.
Yes.
Worrying about one guy's birth certificate when you got a billion people telling lies?
Mm-hmm.
And for all I know, he was born on the moon, and I could care. We're fighting the wrong wars.
Yes.
Christians stand outside abortion clinics and hold hands with priests and nuns,
mm-hmm. yes.
to protect the little babies. Nothing wrong with protecting the little babies, except that's not getting done.
No, it's not.
But the priests and the nuns, they need saved.
Amen.
Christ is our grace. Christ is our peace.
Yes.
And you're going to have to be content with that.
Amen.
Because you're not going to get peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
No.
Being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The peace that we have, the grace that we have, it's a doctrinal truth. You're not going to find it in the marketplace. You're not going to find it in politics. I always get concerned when my government tries to downsize us and get along with those other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's when our pocket gets picked.
Yes.
That's when we get hit alongside the head.
Yep.
And that is precisely what's happening this very minute.
Yes.